4 weeks ago, when we were going through the Sermon on the Mount, and so we're just going to come back to that point here in Matthew chapter 5. And as we come to this text, I want you to know that the Lord Jesus is going to be speaking about something that it's not easy to deal with. And the reason why it's not easy to deal with is simply because of the fact that it touches so many raw emotions, and it produces so many strong reactions. But the truth of the matter is, in order to be a faithful preacher that God has called me to be, I do not have the luxury of preaching the wonderful things and ignoring the difficult things. That luxury is not mine. And so therefore I want to strive to be like the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 27 when he said this, "I have not shunned." That simply means I have not ignored, I have not neglected my God-given responsibility or my God-given calling. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. In other words, as a preacher, it is my responsibility to preach everything that's in that book. In fact, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul was encouraging his young son in the ministry, Timothy, to do. You remember in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul told Timothy, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season." In other words, the Apostle Paul's desire was that Timothy might at all times be ready to faithfully preach the Word of God when it was popular and when it was unpopular. To be faithful to preach God's Word when it was something that was pleasant, when it was something that was not pleasant. And so in order to be faithful to my calling as your pastor, then I have to deal with this thing that we find in the Sermon on the Mount, a portion of Scripture that many times is either overlooked or shaded over or just totally ignored, because it deals with a subject that has, again, touched so many lives and devastated so many. And, of course, the issue we're dealing with is the issue of divorce. I told someone earlier that in my married life, we have never talked about divorce. I did hear Ginger mention murder a couple of times, but she never talked about divorce, okay? And so divorce. Let's begin by noticing, first of all, the perceptions of divorce. There are two points of view when we consider the perceptions concerning divorce. There are two points of view. First of all, there is the view of the world. There's the view of the world. Now, we talk about climbing divorce rates in our society today. It may surprise you to know that in the days of the Lord Jesus, divorce was something that was rampant. It was a rampant thing. In the Roman world, divorce was socially acceptable if it was done within the boundaries of the acceptable social norms. In other words, if you followed all the social rules, then divorce was an acceptable thing. So by the time of Cicero in 63 BC, and by the time of Julius Caesar in 44 BC, divorce was relatively common and it was shame-free in Rome. Wasn't a shame to be divorced. In fact, it was considered to be more a subject for gossip than a social disgrace. A subject for gossip. And so therefore I have read that in the days of the Lord Jesus, it was not uncommon. When Jesus walked the earth, it was not uncommon for a Roman man to have been married between 15 to 20 different times. To have that many different wives stringing along during his lifetime. Now, even though the Jews did not have divorce at such a high rate, it was not unusual in the land of Israel either. Divorce was not unusual. It was quite common there as well. And all that was needed for a divorce was to obtain what was called a writing of divorcement. a writing of divorcement. Therefore, as we have seen before, the Lord Jesus, now in this Sermon on the Mount, as he begins to approach this subject, he begins by stating something that everybody in the Jewish nation already knew. He's going to begin by stating something that they had already been taught, something they all held to be so. And so he begins, notice in chapter 5 and verse number 31 now, the Bible says, the Lord said, it hath been said. In other words, this is what you've heard, this is what you have been taught. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Now, if you'll take and just kind of make a note here, you may want to go back and look at Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1 to verse number 4, because that's the passage that Jesus is referring to. That's where the Lord God gave the nation of Israel the rules and the laws concerning this writing of divorcement. And so based on that text there in Deuteronomy chapter 24, based on that text, all Jewish rabbis agreed that divorce was lawful in the eyes of the Lord God. All Jewish rabbis agreed that it was a lawful thing. Therefore, the only dispute was concerning what was it that constituted a valid reason or a just cause for divorce. What was the just cause? What was the valid reason? Now, among the Pharisees in those days, there were basically two schools of thought. There were two different thinkings among the religious leaders. There was one group that said a wife could only be put away for uncleanness. In other words, if she was one who had defiled herself in an immoral way, then you could put her away. In fact, that was the issue, you remember, when Mary came back from visiting Elizabeth and Joseph saw that his fiancée was about 3 months pregnant and he was thinking of putting her away. That was the issue. Uncleanness. There was others who said the other side of the issue. They said, well, no, yes, you can put away a wife for uncleanness, but that's not all. You can put her away for anything. Any reason is good enough. Any reason is good enough. In fact, for example, it has been said that in those days a man could divorce his wife if he found her cooking untasty. In other words, if it was not cooked properly or not seasoned properly, then be gone, woman. You know. Or it is said that they could get a divorce if he found her beauty was fading. Of course, you know, men, our beauty never fades, right? If he found a woman who was more beautiful than his wife, then he could say, I'm going to trade you in, kind of like a car. And so any reason. Now, to a certain extent, that mentality is still around today, isn't it? Many couples today seek a divorce, and here's the term you use. They're seeking a divorce. It's based on the grounds of irreconcilable differences. Irreconcilable differences. That simply means they have reached a deadlock of disagreement. They've reached a deadlock of disagreement about, and it could be anything. Sometimes it's about how do we use our money, and so they have a disagreement. Divorce. Sometimes they have a disagreement about how children are to be raised. Cannot agree. Get a divorce. Sometimes they have a disagreement simply about how to live their life. And this is becoming more and more a problem in our world today, where there are so many cross-cultural marriages. And so you have a person from one culture marrying a person from another culture, and those cultures many times will collide, and they find they cannot come to an agreement on simply how to live their life, and so they get a divorce. And it goes on and on. irreconcilable differences. That's the view of the world. That's the view of the world. But the view of the world really is not that important. The important thing is, what does God say? And so let's consider then, letter B, the view of the Lord. The view of the Lord. Now, I'm going to say more about this in a moment, but bottom line, let me just tell you this. God's view of divorce, it's very clearly stated in the book of Malachi. In Malachi chapter 2, verse number 16, it says, "For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith, He hateth putting away." He's not annoyed by it. He's not disappointed by it. He doesn't even mildly find himself peeved by it. He hates it. He hates putting away. "For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that ye deal not treacherously." Now, I want you to notice why God hates divorce. Did you notice it there? He tells us. It says God hates the putting away. He hates divorce. And the reason He hates it is because when a man is divorcing his wife, he is actually dealing in two things. First of all, he is dealing in violence. He is dealing in violence. Even though he tries to cover the shame of it with a garment of respectability, he is violently breaking the heart of his wife. He is violently breaking her heart, violently crushing her spirit. God said, "I hate that. I hate it." Not only is he dealing in violence, he's also dealing in treachery. Dealing in treachery. In other words, he is dealing in a deceitful betrayal that has turned the marriage vows that were made at the altar, he's turned those marriage vows into a terrible lie. Violence, treachery. God says, "I hate that." Therefore, God says, "I hate putting away. I hate putting away." But that kind of raises a question. Why did the Lord God allow and even give instructions on how to obtain something that He hates? Now, I'm going to let Pastor Ming-Fi come and answer that question for us. Why God says, "I hate this," and yet He's given us instructions on how to go about getting one. Okay? How do we reconcile that? How do we answer that? Well, that brings us into point number two, and that is this. The cause for divorce. In Matt chapter 5, verse 31, verse 32, Jesus said this. He said, "It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement." Verse 32. "But I say..." In other words, what I have just said, that's what you have heard all your life, but now I'm going to tell you something different. I'm going to tell you something deeper. I'm going to tell you something you haven't heard before. Now again, as we have noticed before, this is something no Old Testament prophet would ever say. No Old Testament prophet would ever say this. Old Testament prophet always said, "Thus saith the Lord." Old Testament prophet never said anything contrary to what the Word of God said. He simply said, "This is what God said." But Jesus said, "I say unto you," this is what you've heard, but now I'm going to tell you. This is what I want you to understand. In other words, this is something that only the lawgiver himself would have the authority to say. And so when it comes to the cause of divorce, Jesus is going to show us a couple of things here. First of all, I want you to notice letter A, the just cause stated. The just cause stated. Verse number 32, "But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for..." That means except in the case of, okay? "Saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. In other words, any man who would marry a woman who had been divorced because she couldn't cook. Or he married a woman who had been divorced because she wasn't as beautiful as some other woman, was causing that woman to live in a state of adultery. Because here's why. Even though the courts and the religious leaders of that day recognized that divorce, it was not recognized by God. It was not recognized by God. See, just because the courts say it's okay doesn't mean God says it's okay. Just because the law says it's okay to do something doesn't mean God says it's okay to do something. See? If a divorce was to be sought on the grounds of fornication, though, if a divorce was to be sought on the grounds of fornication, then that divorce would be recognized by God, and the Lord Jesus said that the offended party was permitted to remarry. Now, we need to understand that there is more to this thing we call fornication. There is more to that than simply two unmarried people having sexual relationships together. There's more to it. In fact, the word fornication comes from the same Greek word that we get our English word pornography. It's the same Greek word from which we get our English word pornography. It covers the whole spectrum of sexual perversion. And it's more than having physical sexual relations with someone other than our spouse. It includes having emotional sexual fantasies, if you will, about someone other than your spouse, even if that someone is merely an image found on a computer screen. Same thing.
Right.
Same thing. The bottom line is simply this: when a partner is physically or emotionally unfaithful to their spouse, that is just grounds for divorce, according to what Jesus said. That is just grounds for divorce. Now, to understand how far-reaching this is, I want you to notice a second thing, and that is this. The just cause illustrated. The just cause illustrated. Now, I realize that what I'm about to say, there are many who perhaps will disagree, and certainly that's their prerogative. They can be wrong if they want to. But many will disagree with what I'm about to say because there are many in their thinking, they will be very dogmatic to tell you that divorce is always a wicked and a sinful thing. That divorce is always a wicked and a sinful thing. But if that is true, then we have a real problem. And here's the problem. Notice it in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8. I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. That's God talking. Now, my question for you tonight is, can God sin?
No.
Can God do anything that is wicked?
No.
No. So therefore, according to the passage, God gave a bill of divorce to the nation of Israel because of her sin. Because of her sin. You see, if divorce is always wicked and always sinful, then we have to realize that there is no way that our God, who is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works, Psalms 145, verse 17, could ever use divorce to picture His own dealings with the nation of Israel. Let me give you three reasons. Three reasons for the just cause. First of all, we have to consider Israel's covenant. Israel's covenant. Or we could say Israel's promise. Israel's promise. The promise is found back in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verse 7 and verse 8. The Bible says, Moses came and called for the elders of the people, laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, here's their covenant right here. They are making a promise to God. This is their promise to God. And they made the covenant, and all the people said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. They made a covenant. They made a covenant before God that they were going to walk in obedience to His word. They were going to follow exactly everything that He wanted for them to do. But you've read the story, right? You've read the Old Testament story. We come to the book of Psalm 78, verse 10. It says, they kept not the covenant. They made the covenant, but they didn't keep it. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law. That brings us to point number two. Israel's adultery. Israel began to follow the gods of the heathen, worship the idols of the pagan nations that surrounded them. And so that's why we find later on the prophet Ezekiel comes on the scene. The prophet Ezekiel declared that Israel had done some terrible things. Ezekiel chapter 16, for example, verse number 26, he says that Israel had committed fornication, increased her whoredoms with the Egyptians. He then says down in verse number 28 that Israel had played the harlot with the Assyrians. He also says down in verse number 29, Israel had multiplied her fornications in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea. In other words, Israel was not content with the idols that she found in the land of Canaan. She went all the way down into what is now called modern day Iraq in order that she might find some more gods to bring back and worship. And then I want you to notice letter C, or number three, Israel's hardness. You read the story, a tragic story it is, how that the Lord God did everything He could. God did everything He could to bring Israel back to Himself. God, time after time after time, showed mercy, showed grace, what we sang about tonight. Time after time, God showed mercy. He showed grace. Through His mercy and His grace, He sent His prophets to plead with Israel to repent of her sin, to turn from her rebellion, to go back to the covenant that she had made those many years before. Time after time, He sent prophets to warn Israel of the terrible consequences that would surely come if she continued in her sinful ways. But Israel would not listen. Israel would not repent. And therefore, because she had broken her covenant with the Lord God, here's what the Bible says. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse number 18. The Lord was very angry with Israel, notice the wording, and removed them out of His sight. You know what that means? It simply means He put them away. He divorced them. He divorced them. Now that's the same issue today. It's the same issue today. When a man and woman are married, they enter into a covenant relationship. They enter into a covenant relationship with one another before God and before man. They enter into a covenant relationship, and that covenant is clearly stated in what we call the marriage vows. That covenant is clearly stated. In the marriage vows, both of them pledge their love for one another. They pledge their love for one another. They pledge to love their spouse with a love that will always faithfully put the needs of the other before themselves. That's what love is. In other words, they enter into a covenant that they're going to love their chosen mate with the same kind of love that God Himself has shown to us, and the same kind of love that is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to verse number 8. But not only do they pledge their love to one another, they pledge their loyalty to one another. They pledge their loyalty to one another. They pledge that they are going to forsake all others and faithfully cleave only to one another. The only just cause for divorce is when either the husband or the wife has broken the covenant. When they have broken the covenant that they made on their wedding day. And the reason why so many times they end up in divorce is simply stated for us in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 8. If you turn over there, the Bible says Moses, the Lord is speaking. He says, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. You see, marriage, the thing we're learning in this Sermon on the Mount is that marriage was designed by God in the beginning to be a lifelong commitment. A lifelong commitment. And so even though divorce is allowed when the marriage covenants are broken, you'll find in the Scripture divorce is never commanded. It's never commanded. I've heard testimonies of couples whose marriages were terribly hurt when one or the other broke their marriage vows. They broke their covenant. They did something they promised they would never do. And I heard testimonies of couples whose marriages were terribly hurt by that, and yet they were able with godly counsel, they were able to reconcile and they have gone on. I've heard of others when the marriage vows and the marriage covenant was broken, they ended up getting divorced. And the reason was simply because of what Jesus said right there. Hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. It ends up in divorce because one refused to repent, or on the other side, one refused to forgive. But hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. Two applications very quickly, and then I'm going to quit. If you're married, God expects you to take those vows that you made before Him and before others to your wife or to your husband. God expects you to take those things seriously because He does. He expects you to take those things seriously. He expects you to stay with the wife or the husband you have chosen. And if unfaithfulness does arise, then you ought to seek God's help that you might be able to find reconciliation, not be hard of heart. If you're unmarried, you're thinking about getting married in the future, then let me just simply remind you that marriage is a lifelong commitment. A lifelong commitment that should never be entered into lightly and should never be entered into carelessly. Jesus said, this is what you've heard. This is what you've heard. Divorce for any reason, go for it. But I want to tell you something. And then He gives us some very serious things to think about when it comes to this matter of husband-wife relationship, maintaining the relationship, and avoiding the pitfalls of divorce. Heavenly Father, we...